Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. This morning's passage is the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. I think there are three things that come to mind as we study this passage, and I want to share those ideas with you. Firstly, the parable is rich in spiritual truth. I want to start our study of this passage by looking at the political context at the time. You will know that there were the Pharisees and the Sadducees. These were the two main groups of Jewish leaders who were part of the great Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin consisted of some 71 members, and their responsibility was to interpret the civil and religious laws. The Sadducees, on one hand, were elitists who wanted to maintain the priestly caste, but they were also liberal in their willingness to accommodate the thinking of the Greek-speaking Jews. They rejected the idea of the oral law, but they were very literal in their interpretation of the Torah, the written law. They did not believe in an afterlife because it is not mentioned in the Torah. But their main focus of the Sadducee life was around rituals associated with the temples. The Sadducees disappeared about 70 AD. We have little writings about them, and the writings that we do are from the Pharisees, if you like, their opponents. I think that's hardly the best source for an evidence-based approach for information about anything. The Pharisees, on the other hand, were regarded as the spiritual fathers of Judaism. Their main distinguishing characteristic was their belief in the oral law that God handed down to Moses on Sinai. But they also had a strong belief in the Torah, the written law. The Pharisees believed that God gave Moses the knowledge of what these laws meant and how they should be applied. The Pharisees also believed in an afterlife, and that God punished the wicked and rewarded the righteous in the world to come. They believed that there was a Messiah to come in a new era that would bring world peace. The Pharisees were Jews who engaged mainly in prayer and assembly in the temple. The Pharisees, and many in the Jewish time, believed that they were right with God because of their privileges and their position. After all, they considered, were they not a chosen people of God? They had Moses as their lawgiver. They had the Ten Commandments as their charter. They had the circumcision as their covenant. They had the temple and the sacrifices. They had the Sabbath for a day of worship. They had the priests and the holy place. And they had their special days and ceremonies. The Pharisees would have been considered to be righteous, well-respected, holy, religious, noble people from the very elite of the top end, the top echelon of Jewish society. On the other hand, the tax collector was considered a sinner, a wicked man, a dishonest two-timer from the bottom of the social ladder, a sellout to Rome, who not only collected taxes, but stole from the people, and consequently would have been very unwelcome in the temple. So returning to this passage, Jesus contrasts these two very different men, the tax collector on the one hand and the Pharisee on the other. They could not have been considered more different in the eyes of their audience. Jesus lets us see them in prayer. He shows us the hollowness of the self-confidence of one and the genuine confession of the other. To the audience, it must have been very jarring to even think that a tax collector could be in the holy temple. How could God hear such a man? Let's look at the Pharisee. He would have gone to the temple twice a day, maybe 9 o'clock in the morning and 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And he stands in a prominent place for all to see, maybe up by the altar. Everyone can see him raising his hands in prayer and observing how much better he is than everyone else. He's oozing self-confidence. He's oozing self-righteousness as he stands at the altar for all to see him, and he prays out loud. He's full of pride. But unfortunately, it's worse than that. He seems very taken up with himself. He seems to be full of self-congratulation and absorbed with how good and holy he was, being seen in the temple, in the place of prayer, once again. There's nothing here but pride and hypocrisy. In verse 12, we see where his confidence was. He fasted twice a week instead of once a year as required under the law. He gave tithes of everything he got, but actually that was not required by the law. The word says this about the Pharisees in Matthew 23. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. And in Matthew 6 at 5 it says, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Would you like to hear an example of a first century Pharisee's prayer? Here it is. Listen to this. I thank thee, Jehovah my God, that thou hast assigned my lot with those who sit in the house of learning, and not with those who sit at street corners, money changers and traders. For I rise early and they rise early. I rise early to study the word of the Torah, and they rise early to attend to things of no importance. I weary myself and they weary themselves. I weary myself and gain thereby, while they weary themselves and gain nothing. I run and they run. I run towards the age of the life to come, while they run towards the pit of destruction. I think there's some attitude in there, don't you? Now, we need to be careful that we don't get self-righteous about all of this ourselves, and we remain humble in our thoughts, in our words, and our deeds. We mustn't make the mistake of comparing ourselves to others and gaining confidence from what we see in that comparison. In fact, Jesus warns us about that at the beginning of the parable. Our standard for comparison is God himself, and we all fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Secondly, Jesus emphasized the issue of righteousness and justification. This sounds like this is going to get heavy. I hope not. Let's have a look at the tax collector now. He stands at a distance away from the main part of the temple. He is far off in the shadows, out of sight, unseen, out of the way. He is only seen by God. He's more like those who pray for us in the back of the church during services, in the shadows. Matthew 6, it says, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. The tax collector doesn't need the Pharisees' help in pointing out his sin. He harbors no illusions about himself. Employed by the pagan Roman government and known for taking bribes, tax collectors were outcasts and treated as traitors. They were so reviled and distrusted that they weren't permitted to even be witnesses in any court of law. And so the tax collector of the parable has no claim to be in God's favor. What this is apparently is a loathsome sinner, and people were asking, what was he doing here? What was happening in this? And the answer is that he was getting what the Pharisee needed, God's mercy. So we see now that the tax collector stoops down. He's overwhelmed by his own sense of unworthiness and sin as he bends with his face towards the ground, not able to look up at heaven. It is not only his posture that was right, it was his heart that was right. That's what God looks for in prayer. Psalm 51, "My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, you, God, do not despise. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to your cross I cling." Note the tax collector's actions. He pounds his chest in sorrow and remorse. This is an Eastern practice to show deep regret and sorrow. It was unlike the Pharisee, where the Pharisee was overly concerned about his position and how he compared to others. This was a sinner before God expressing his deep sorrow. He did not say he deserved mercy and pardon. He simply asked for it as a beggar would. He asked for mercy. And as this man confessed his sin, he would know the pardon of God. God pardons sinners. Jesus then tells his audience what they needed to hear from this parable. In verse 14, "I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." The lesson is that this tax collector went home justified. The Pharisee did not. The tax collector was not justified by any deeds of the law, but by his repentant, humble approach before God, by his acknowledgement of sin, and by his faith in God that he would receive mercy and forgiveness. The Bible often speaks about being justified, being made free from guilt by faith. Scripture says, "Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith from the deeds of the law." It is actually the tax collector who is justified by faith, made right and just and innocent in God's sight, rather than the Pharisee. The tax collector repented and was forgiven. Titus in 3 at verses 5 to 7 says, "He saved us not because of righteous things that we have done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Saviour, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life." God wants us to have confidence in our salvation, but that confidence is based and rooted in what he has done for us in Christ as sinners who least deserve it. Thirdly, Christ calls us to be humble. At the conclusion of the parable, Christ reminds the audience that everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. The tax collector was humble. He was in a repentant frame of mind. He was the one who was justified. The Pharisee was not humble, and he instead was proud and was not justified. The only attitude before a holy God is one of deep humility, repentance, brokenness of heart. What a startling contrast Jesus gives us between these two men, the Pharisee and the tax collector. Both were seen by God, both were heard by God, both were answered by God, but very differently. No prayer is missed by God, but we note that God is far more interested in the condition of our hearts rather than the phrasing of our words. God looks for people who pray with a broken heart. Psalm 139 says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Those who heard this parable must have gasped with shock and surprise. How is it possible for a tax collector to be justified by God? Surely they thought Jesus must have got the story the wrong way around. The tax collector was a thief. He was a traitor to his nation, and was not the Pharisee, the son of the Creator, the son of Abraham, the son of Moses. The difference is that the tax collector humbled himself and was justified, confesses his sin and was justified, admitted his failings and was justified, bowed in humility to God and was justified, empty his pride and was justified. That's what God looks for, that he may grant answers to prayer and bring salvation to all those who call on him in humility. Converted slave trader John Newton, who wrote the hymn, Amazing Grace, we know it all, confessed, I am a great sinner and Christ is a great saviour. This is the attitude that we need as we make our peace with God. As the song says, save a wretch like me. We are Christians not because of our grasp of divine knowledge or because of any superior righteousness. We have nothing to boast of except God's grace, giving us what we don't deserve and his mercy, and giving us and not giving us what we do deserve. Ephesians 2:8 says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And in Romans 12:3 says, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. We conclude with the eternal maxim that Jesus closes our passage with in verse 14. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. My 3 points in my sermon today were the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector in the temple is rich with spiritual truth. Jesus emphasized the issue of justification and righteousness, and Christ calls us to be humble. Let us be careful not to base our confidence in religious privilege or anything else that we have done. Rather, let us be humble, trusting, dependent, like this unnamed tax collector. And when we pray the language of the heart, words that are real and genuine, as we seek God's mercy and be thankful. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, to you is ascribed all greatness, power, and glory, victory, and majesty. For all that is in the heavens and the earth is yours. You, O Lord, are exalted as head above all. You rule over all. In your hand are power and might. We thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. We thank you that you sent your Son, that we may be redeemed. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, you have delivered us from the power of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of your love. We pray that by your presence with us, that you will keep us free from sin and encourage us in our Christian walk. We thank you that your word continues to teach us and challenge us and cause us to grow more like you every day. We thank you for the reminder in our passage today that those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. We pray for strength to remain humble in all our ways. Lord, we confess before you that we have not always been humble in our thoughts, our words, and our actions. Lord, sometimes we have been too proud and too self-occupied. We acknowledge our sin and beg forgiveness and mercy. And we thank you, Lord, that you forgive us, undeserving as we are. Grant us grace, O Lord, to become more like you each day, for it is by grace that we have been saved through faith, not by ourselves, but by a gift from God, justified and freed. We thank you. We pray these things in the name of the risen Lord Jesus. Amen.